Hi, my name is Randy Cantrell, and first of all, let me thank you for opting in. And as my thank you gift, this free audio, 8 Steps to Remarkable. I'm going to warn you, they're easy to talk about. They're not quite so easy to execute. And that should make sense because, after all, if it's easy to be remarkable, then everybody's going to be remarkable. Here's the fact. It's not easy to be remarkable, but it's very doable. And quite frankly, one of the biggest things that it requires is a commitment and determination. The word I like to use is tenacity. Tenacity. And so get your head and your heart wrapped around that notion. And let's get on with it. First step to remarkable, you need to have a system. Develop a system. Now, again, this is not an easy thing necessarily to accomplish, especially for people who really haven't lived their life with, let's just call it what it is. If you've lived your life with bad habits, you've lived your life in just complete chaos and disorganization, developing a system, that may not be easy for you. There are other people who just, they seem to approach life with a very systematic notion. They outline things, they make notes of things, they set some mile markers in place so that they know that they're making progress. But for many of us, it's just not that way. And so we need to develop a system. And here's the fundamental truth of it all. If you're not satisfied where you are, if you're not satisfied with the progress that you've made in your career or your business, then you really need to sit down. And my first advice under this heading of developing a system is figure out where you are and figure out what you're doing right now. Have you ever gone on a diet and had somebody advise you, write down all the things that you eat, write down everything that you put into your mouth? And once we do that, we look at the list at the end of a day or at the end of a week and we think to ourselves, man, did I really eat that much? Sometimes we shock ourselves because what we've engaged in is mindless eating. We simply just don't have the self-awareness to know unless we write it down. So one piece of advice I'll give you under this heading of developing a system, write down what it is you're doing. Write down how you're spending your time. Write down what you do and the beginning time and the ending time. Yes, I will confess to you, it's going to be a royal pain. But if you will commit yourself to do that, do it for an average week. Now, quite frankly, if you just do it for a few days, that's better than not doing it at all. But if you'll do it for a week, if you'll do it for a solid week, including the weekends, then you'll have a diary where at least you know where you're spending your time. And you know what? There's not a single resource that you have, including your bank account, that's more valuable than your time. What most people discover is they haven't developed a system because they've just let life happen. They've blindly put one foot in front of the other day after day. They've spent too much time frittering away with Twitter, with Facebook, with reading blogs, with watching the news, with reading magazines. And I'm not saying that any of those activities is a bad thing in moderation. But until you develop a system, some way that you can approach your days, some way that you can approach the hours of your life, then you can't make progress. So you need to develop a system. Secondly, you got to know where you're headed. So part of developing a system is you need to make sure that you know what it is you want. Now, there's a huge challenge for a lot of people because there are a lot of people that they really don't know what they want. They think they know what they want, but they really don't know what they want. A buddy of mine remarked the other day, and he put the emphasis on a different word. And the emphasis that he put was on the word really. What do you really want? Some people have termed it this way. What do you really want to do? Now, I'm a very practical guy. I'm a very practical guy. And when people approach me for coaching and advice when it comes to business ideas, first and foremost, I tend to go toward the practical. I tend to go toward cash flow. So let me give you my bias right up front. Here's my bias, and it's a bias on the subject of passion. And this all still is under the heading of develop a system. Passion's great and wonderful. And Gary Vaynerchuk and other people, you know, they tout it and they laud it. And I'm all for it. But the fact of the matter is, if you're swimming in a sea of debt, if you're out of work, if things in life financially are just not happening for you, I think it's just bad advice for you to just go stick your head in a cloud somewhere and dream of finding your passion. You need to find cash flow. You need to get out of debt. You need to get on with the practical responsibilities and get your finances under control, get your life a little bit under control, because, you know, let's face it, until we have our basic needs met, there's no time to chase passion. I told somebody the other day in a coaching session, on the plains of Africa, there are tribesmen, and they wake up in the morning and they're not asking about passion. They have one driving desire today, and that is find food. Maybe find water. Once we've accomplished those things, and once we've got our huts built and our shelter, okay, then we can pursue other things. It really is the law of putting first things first. I'm not at all saying, now, check your passion. Don't chase your passion. But let's take care of business first. Let's make sure that we've got some of the basics done. Let's make sure that we've got a proper foundation done. Because until you do that, you know, all the talk about pursuing a passion, it's not feasible. It's not practical. So you got to develop a system. Develop a system. Secondly, we want to make it scale. Everybody talks about this, and I'm rather tired of it, to tell you the truth, but there's huge power in it. Because if you want to be remarkable, you need to make it scale. And the reason I say you need to make it scale goes back to my fundamental belief that things need to be practical. They need to be practical. My wife loves to sew doll dresses. Now, she specializes in sewing dresses for a doll that was made by a gal named Annette Hempstead. Annette Hempstead, just a little bit of backstory, she used to be some muckety-muck with Mattel Toys, at least over in Europe. And she left, and she came out with a line of dolls that, I picture a doll that's about 3 feet tall, lifelike. Dolls that look like, I guess they're all girls. They may not be, but they just look like little girls. Now, my wife wasn't so much enamored with the dolls as she was sewing. Her passion is sewing. Her passion is creating outfits. The dolls just happen to be these little nice-sized models. So she got into the doll dress business. There's a problem. There's a problem that she's got, and that is making it scale. Does that mean she can't be remarkable? Oh, listen, she does remarkable work. She sells doll dresses all over the world. She's remarkable. From a business perspective, no, it really doesn't scale because her passion is to sew the dresses. She wants to do that work. It really is, it's kind of a hobby that pays for itself. Now, you want to have a passion and you want to develop a system and you want to do these things that you have to do to be responsible and get yourself to where you can think about what it is you want to do. What do you really want to do? Set about to chase that and make it something that you can scale. We're approaching this from a business perspective. We're approaching this from making a living perspective. So you want to be able to make it scale. And that leads me into the third thing, because the one big thing that can help you make something scale is to outsource. Lots of discussion about outsourcing, and most people didn't really have much of a feel for outsourcing until they read Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek. All over my site, you will see various notations where I encourage and tell people, if you're looking for getting rich quick, if you're looking for the 4-hour work week, I'm not the guy. It's appealing. Sure, it's appealing. But I'm more the guy, let's live our lives pursuing something, accomplishing something, and let's live our lives in some balance so that we're not sacrificing our families. We're not sacrificing our health, right? We don't want to do that. But you can outsource, and that can help make your business scalable. A lot of components to outsourcing. Let me just give you kind of a thumbnail sketch of some things that can make it very beneficial to outsource. I'm technically proficient, but I'm not a code monkey. Okay, I'm not a guy who's going to go out and write a bunch of code and build software. I don't know how. I know enough HTML to get by. But let's suppose that I really needed to do something fairly elaborate, and maybe I needed a code monkey. I needed somebody that really understood programming. Well, where am I going to find that? I don't have that skill. I need to go find somebody else who has that skill. And I need to hire somebody who has a skill that I don't possess. Now, that opens up all kinds of doors for me. And in this internet age, the great thing about the second step, making it scale, it dovetails nicely into outsourcing. You can be a one-man band in your home, and you can get people who can do all kinds of things for you. They can set up WordPress blogs. They can even write ebooks. They can edit audio. They can edit video. They can submit things to a variety of different article directories. There's all kinds of marketing and technical and administrative kinds of things that you can now cost-effectively outsource to help you scale your business. Fourth, you've got to think about positioning yourself. And this really goes back to step number one, finding out what you really want to do. You got to position yourself. By and large, people make an enormous mistake because they want to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. They want to appeal to as many people as possible, and they want to be offensive to nobody. Well, there's a problem with that. And the problem basically is this. If you're trying to appeal to everybody, you will find that you won't appeal to anybody. If you find that there's nobody who dislikes you, then there's nobody who loves you. Now, you may be innocuous. You may be unassuming. You may be unoffensive. But you're also completely off the radar. Take my wife's business of doll dresses. It's a niche, right? It's a narrow niche. Now, if her passion was business, if her driver was to make money, she could certainly do some things differently. But keep in mind, her passion and her driver is to create these outfits, to sew these outfits, and we're talking one of a kind. One-of-a-kind outfits. We're not talking about anything that is mass produced. So, okay, she's breaking rule number two, make it scale. And yet, what she's doing is remarkable. Now, it's not a remarkable business. It's kind of a remarkable story, which proves that you can still do great work. You can still accomplish great things. You can still be remarkable. But our context, as we said, it's being remarkable with an enterprise, being remarkable with a business. And we're after a sustainable business that can bring income to your home. Hopefully, income that can support you and your family. Positioning yourself, you've got to think about narrowing it down. You've got to think about being able to be somebody in a smaller pond. This is a big, vast ocean that we are all swimming in, known as the internet. So simply to build a website and to go take on some social media presence, build out a Facebook page, fill out a Twitter profile, that doesn't guarantee you anything. You are now just going to be one of millions who are screaming and shouting and trying to get someone's attention. So you have to position yourself. You have to brand yourself. You have to determine that there's this little bitty population that you really want to serve, that you really want to get known in, and your odds will be significantly improved that you can be somebody. Be somebody. That's number four. Number five permeates all of these, and maybe I should have started with this one, but I kind of put it in the middle on purpose, and that's focus. Focus. The best definition I can give you of focus is elimination, because unless you learn to eliminate the noise, the distractions, all of those things that vie for your time and your attention, unless you can eliminate those things, you're not going to get anywhere. You're going to spend day after day after day doing the same thing, getting the same result, and you're not going to be happy with the result you get because you're not going to get a result. You're going to get the same result that millions and millions and millions of people get. They spend a lot of time on Twitter, a lot of time on Facebook, a lot of time with their RSS reader, a lot of time scanning blogs and websites, and at the end of the day, they've created nothing, but they've wasted plenty. You've got to focus, and one of the big things that you got to focus on is, I'll call it communication. It's not always communication, but a lot of it is communication, because it's communication that you're either consuming or it's communication that you're creating. And I don't mean communication that is marketable. I mean posting inane things on Facebook. I mean spending time in Farmville. Or is it Mafia Wars? I've never been on those. I've seen them. But such things are just incredible time wasters, and you can't afford to devote your life to those things. Now, if you want to do those things, I'm not saying don't do them at all, but think of it just like you would any other form of entertainment. Think of it like you would think about television consumption. Think about it like you would think of any other hobby that you like to do it, but it's not the vocation. It's not the priority. It's not the thing that you're going to earn your living with. Number six, be accountable. Be accountable. You've always got to be accountable. You've got to be responsible. And I go back to my philosophy of being practical. And it really stems from just live a responsible life. Be responsible, be accountable. If you need help with that, get a close friend, a spouse. If you need a coach, hire a coach. Hire someone whose judgment you trust, someone who is a good sounding board, someone who you know will not just be a yes person and brag about every idea that you've got, but somebody that will tell you what you need to hear, somebody who will nudge you forward, somebody who will hold you accountable. And it's got to start with you. You really have got to hold yourself accountable. If you're unwilling to do that, then you're likely to be unwilling to let anybody else help you. Some people join various forums. They may join a LinkedIn group or some other group, and they may try to hold one another accountable. And that's great. That's great. Just do whatever you must do to be responsible and to be accountable for the outcome. There are so many people. I just have to confess this. There's so many people that spend a lot of time trying to overcome being victims. There are so many people who spend so much of their life hung up in that if only land. You know, well, if only I had started my blog back in 1997 like this famous blogger did, and if only I ran in the circles that some of these famous internet folks run in, and if only I lived in a bigger town, and if only my website looked like this and looked like that. Listen, it's kind of like people used to say about hot rodding cars. There's always somebody with a faster car. Always. So you can always find an excuse. There's always this logical reason why you're failing. Be accountable. Be accountable to yourself and seek out other people who can help hold you accountable. Number 7, and this is a rather big one, I'm going to advise you and encourage you to sell information and education. We are living in an information age more than any other time in the history of the planet. People are searching out information. Google, YouTube, Yahoo, MSN. People are searching. Well, what are they searching for? Information. They're searching for information, and it's never been more accessible than it is right now. Now, people can say, well, how can I sell information, Randy? You can Google anything. You can find anything on the internet for free. Well, I'm not going to argue with that. Maybe you expected me to, but I'm not going to. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to use one big social media star as a prime example. And you've probably heard of him, and you've probably read something of his if you have any interest in business at all. Seth Godin. Seth Godin has written a number of books that really were blog posts. In fact, according to him, the books are nothing more than souvenirs. The blog posts are the free content, the free information that he put out there. But he sells books as souvenirs. And that's how he looks at it. It's free information, but it's repackaged. It's repurposed, if you please, and it's published in a book, and people buy it. There are a lot of different instructional websites. Just consider lynda.com, lynda.com. Lynda.com is an educational website that for a certain amount of money, and there's a variety of different options, you could go on there and you could learn any number of software packages, any number of classes that are offered to teach you a variety of things, some of them quite technical, because that's where Lynda, a real person, by the way, that's where she got her start. Teaching people how to use a variety of different software packages. Well, software comes with manuals, all kinds of online resources. So why would someone pay, in some cases, a monthly ongoing fee to take a class to learn a piece of software? People do it all the time. People do it all the time when it comes to pretty elaborate programs like Photoshop, Illustrator, many other high dollar and pretty complicated and highly charged and very powerful software. Why do people do that? Why do people pay money? Because they want to get the use out of it, and they're looking for somebody that's a good teacher. And you know what? The person that might be a good teacher for you may not be a good teacher for me. The person that you're attracted to may not be the person I'm attracted to. As you're listening to this audio, you're likely thinking, I kind of like this guy. Or you're thinking, I don't like this guy at all. And that's okay. Welcome to the new world. Welcome to the world of selling information and education. We are looking for people who resonate with us. We are looking for people who we can connect with. And as a result, these are people who can, they can accelerate our progress. We could take a course, we could buy some ebook, we could buy some video course, we could buy some audio product, and we can buy information and education, and it really helps us. Because the person who's giving us the information, they're doing it in a way that's meaningful for us. And so we find it worthwhile. Sell information and education. Lastly, step 8, always, always push forward. Now, you're going to have moments where you take these quantum leaps. You're going to have moments where you're kind of in the flow. Things are just kind of clicking. Things are kind of happening today much easier than they happened yesterday. But you know what? Tomorrow, it may be a different story. Tomorrow, you may find yourself trying to climb the mountain. Today, not so much. It doesn't matter if your progress every day is a quantum leap. In fact, and I'm not a baseball fan, but I'm going to kind of use a baseball analogy here and tell you, you don't have to step up to the plate always swinging for the fences, always trying to hit a home run. Just try to get on base. Better yet, just try to make contact with the ball. Just contact with the ball. Take some pleasure and celebrate small successes because those will mount. Those will mount and you will find yourself building momentum. And I can tell you, momentum is sometimes a hard thing to build and it's a hard thing to sustain. And the reason you've got to always push forward and keep pushing and keep pushing and keep pushing is because when you look out at the sea of people who are trying to find their way, who are trying to make some go of an enterprise, more often than not, people quit. They quit, they give up. Do they quit too soon? We may never know. Don't be one of those. Don't quit too soon because you never know. Success may be just around the corner. Success may be just one hurdle away, one obstacle away. And if you'll hang tough and if you'll keep pushing forward, always, always, always pushing forward, you might find remarkability is just around the bend. 8 steps to remarkable. I'm Randy Cantrell. The website is BulaNetwork.com. I'm really, really happy that you gave me almost 30 minutes of your attention. I hope you found it profitable. I hope you found it thought-provoking. I hope you push forward, and I hope in any way possible that I can help you be remarkable. Thanks.